flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The parting of ways with the offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowick, here with the Texans. And this is crazy. 1 year removed from being one of the hot names on the head coaching circuit, interviewed for multiple jobs. The Texans were happy to bring him back and get him a new contract to get him some more money to be the return as the OC. And the expectations almost was he'd be here and gone the next year. Well, that happened. Just happened. By way of him being fired, and we are happy to be joined by NFL reporter, insider with Bleacher Report, as well as senior NFL reporter with Underdog Fantasy, James Palmer. James, we appreciate you jumping on with us.
Yeah, no problem, guys. How you doing? Wild day. An average Friday in the NFL.
Head coaches,
coordinators.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Pete Carroll got the job with the Raiders. You know a lot about it. And I'm just curious from you, is this a surprise? As I said leading in, how highly regarded Bobby Slowick was last year. After 2 years, is this a surprise? Because when I say it out loud, James, all right, back-to-back playoff years, 10-win seasons. All right, they won a playoff game, which 32 points was put up, but that wasn't enough.
Yeah, I think the timing of it makes it a little bit more of a surprise. I mean, we're starting to get a little further away from that final game in Kansas City, right? Sometimes these things happen a day or two after. So when you start to get a little bit further removed from the actual game, maybe that adds a little bit to the surprise oftentimes. I mean, I was at that game in Kansas City. We saw that offense operating in a manner that I think was good enough to win in Kansas City. Not great. It hasn't been great this year. We know that. But it was maybe good enough to win there. And, you know, I do think with as hot as Bobby's name was last year through the head coaching search, I mean, I had him on my show and we talked in-depth ball for a long time last year. And there's a lot to like about him as a coach, for sure. He came up the right way under Mike Shanahan and on the defensive side of the ball, so he knows both sides. And there's a reason why people were interested in him, for sure. But I do think there's two things in the NFL and in life, I would say, but the NFL specifically, is perception and expectations. And those things are very heavily weighed in the NFL and what happens with people keeping their jobs and losing their jobs. And the expectations, let's be honest, for year two, were through the roof for the Houston Texans, specifically this offense. When you have a rookie play as well as CJ did, you kind of assume the way he's wired, there'd be no step back. You'd think you'd take this, you know, with the additions of Joe Mixon and Stephon Diggs, and it goes up. I mean, the expectations were huge. And then the perception of the way things were operating, I think that is a part of it as well, to where I think you could look at the way it operated throughout the year, and it was really this. Like, it is disjointed oftentimes. You saw defenses do things differently, and you were curious if there were going to be the adjustments to be made to combat those. And so those two big factors, I hate to say it, cost a lot of people their jobs in this league. And it looks like Bobby is kind of one of those as well.
Let's talk about it from the Texans' perspective, James, because to me the biggest part of this is the statement that's being made by D'Amico Ryans, Nick Caserio, Cal and Hannah McNair, and ultimately the Texans organization is, we don't have time for the quarterback and the offense to backslide. We can't wait 8 or 9 weeks to figure out what our identity is. We can't wait a third year to see if this inexperienced coordinator is going to work out. The time is now. They feel like they have a roster. They spent a lot of money with that roster. Would you agree that the statement made by the urgency here of moving on from Bobby Slowick is, hey, man, it now is the time to make a run at a Super Bowl and get beyond this divisional stuff?
I think that's accurate. I think if you ask any of the people that you mentioned, that question, I think they'd probably react the same way. I think they have the cheat code right now, which is a rookie quarterback contract, right? You mentioned the roster. You mentioned what you have to spend to put a good NFL roster again together in the NFL. And you have the ability to operate off of a rookie quarterback contract that a guy that you saw in his rookie year just adapted to the NFL very, very quickly. And it's, you know, if nobody's speaking out of turn to say that it took a step backwards this year, that CJ took a step backwards in a sense this year. We'll see what the factors essentially were when we get into 2025, but you're right. This was a team that was outstanding in explosive plays. You had a quarterback that was unbelievably accurate in explosive plays, and you had to shift this year to a defense that kept you in a lot of games and a defense that was carrying the team. And I don't think anybody really wanted to do that. This wants to be, you know, a complete roster here. And I think from the Houston Texans perspective is we have a great quarterback. We have, I think, Nico Collins is one of the best receivers in football. And we have a defense with a lot of really great young talent on it that we've put together. I think Nick has done a great job putting this team together. And you're right. We don't want to have any patience for this thing to come together. And I think what ends up happening, and back to what I said originally, look what's happening in Washington. We all thought they were going to be patient, and we thought the Commanders were going to put this thing together in a methodical way with Adam Peters as the general manager, and they start seeing themselves have some success. What do? They make a trade at the deadline to get Marshawn Lattimore. Okay, let's go, right? Like, we don't have a whole lot of time in this league, and I think that's right. I think what you're saying is accurate by the thinking of the Houston Texans, and I don't think it's inappropriate for them to think that way right now.
Joined by James Palmer, insider at Bleacher Report, as well as senior NFL reporter with Underdog Fantasy. From what you're hearing, because you kind of described the offense and how it felt, for the feel or what you hear from around, do you feel like the thought that the issues with the Texans offense has been more of player driven or more of lack of execution, lack of coach, kind of coach driven issues?
Well, I think that's kind of a loaded question, but I would say you saw certain things that continued to be the same mistakes at the course of the season. Oftentimes, that gets, whether it's accurate or not, pointed at the coaching staff, right? Like, are these guys going to keep making the same mistakes, or are we as an offense going to keep making the same mistakes moving forward, and why aren't they getting corrected? If those mistakes aren't getting changed to the higher-ups, they're usually going to come down on that. That's the coaches haven't found ways to fix it or change it. It's not it kind of falls in a different category if it's just we're less talented, right? I don't think anybody's questioning the talent on that side of the ball for the Houston Texans. So I think that also, again, falls then, whether it's appropriate or not, again, on the coaching staff. So those two parts of it. I think the lack of adjusting as the season went on probably is something that maybe kind of like started to rear its head in a sense. And I also think the way this happened, like the way CJ was playing the position and sacked, what was it, guys, 52 times this year? You start making some different decisions. You start playing the position a little bit differently. I would say, and I just thought of this now talking to you, like that's one direction you do not want your quarterback to go, where he starts second-guessing himself and he starts, you know, not making as decisive as decisions as you saw the previous year because he's worried he's going to get the crap kicked out of him. Like, that's a direction you do not want your quarterback to start going down. And so I think all of these things point to, yeah, we're not going to be patient here. We're going to try to fix this thing quickly. Now, the part to me is, what usually happens with young quarterbacks and you change systems, that's what we're going to watch. Like, can we keep CJ Stroud in relatively the same type of system? That probably benefits him, because once a lot of these top tier quarterbacks that are picked at the top of the draft go from system to system, it's usually the head coach is fired and a new group comes in. It's not benefiting your young quarterback. I think they do have a plan, but we'll end up seeing exactly what ends up happening.
You mentioned this briefly because this was my second response to it, man, was you better have a guy in plan now. Like, we can sit here and talk about, there's plenty of reason, right, for to move on from Bobby Slug. I think you could have put a good case together of why you keep the guy. I mean, heck, his quarterback over a two-year span put up some really good numbers, right? Mm-hmm. I think there was really a case for both to justify keeping him or getting rid of him. But if you get rid of him, you just spoke to it, man. The risk there is going into training camp and you're starting in whoever's offense 101 again. You're not in 500 classes, 600 classes. Like, you're starting all the way over. And so that leads me to a point of the question that I have, James, is do you think this is we got a guy in mind, given that half the damn league is running that some kind of Shanahan Kubiak system to some degree, right? Or do you think this is we'll conduct a search and find the best candidate type situation?
I think they're going to look around. I think And this allows me to get on my soapbox for this in a sense. I just can't stand guys, teams that don't take the opportunity when they move on from either a coordinator or a general manager or a head coach and don't take the proper time to look around. I think they're doing a massive disservice to themselves as an organization. Like I think we've seen it with Jacksonville. We've seen it with New England, right? Those aren't real searches for head coaches. And I think you're hurting your organization if you don't. So even if the Texans have a plan for who they want to be in, whether it's in-house, which a lot of people believe it is, I think you still should do the search because you might come across some coaches that you didn't know very well. And you have the opportunity to now get to know them a little bit better. I mean, I go back, and this might be a soapbox for me, so I apologize. But
the Chargers
go out, and they know last year they're going to get Jim Harbaugh. How many people did they interview for that job? Probably 15 for that job. I think that's going to benefit the Chargers organization throughout the years, getting to know so many of those coaches so well. Because a coordinator job comes open. You know, Jesse Minter's an outstanding DC there. What if he gets a head coaching job next year? Somebody you interviewed might be available to fill your DC spot. So I think the Texans would do themselves a disservice, even if they have somebody in mind, to not look around and really sit down with some serious candidates. I do think the problem is right now, you look at the teams that are looking for offensive coordinators, the Texans now put themselves in the same category as some other teams. Like Vegas doesn't, they just hired Pete Carroll. They don't have an OC yet, obviously. The Bears, you're not calling plays, but there's no OC there. The Seahawks are looking for somebody to call plays on that side of the ball and looking for an OC. The Jets don't have an OC yet. And you would also include, I guess, the Jags, because Liam Cohen gets that job. He's probably going to run the offense. But what I'm telling you is you're putting yourself in a category where I was talking to a GM about this the other day. There's not a whole lot of great play callers out there right now at your disposal. And so I think it's an interesting place to put yourself, but I don't think you do it this late in the game if you didn't have a plan.
All right, James, kind of a two-part question here before we get you out of here. One, is Gerard Johnson, the quarterback coach here, do you see him as somebody that is thought of to potentially be a replacement? And just addition to him, any other names that we should maybe be able to look on the lookout on to potentially fill this position?
Yeah, I think Gerard's a legitimate candidate, 100%. And if that's who you think, I mean, like that's what I was kind of hinting at with some of what I was saying. If that's who you think, then that keeps a lot of continuity for your quarterback. I love what you guys were saying. You're right. You don't want to, go back to the opening portions of a playbook. You want to start going to those portions of the playbook you haven't even touched yet when your quarterback gets into year two, year three, year four, when you can start finding the added wrinkles of everything you want to do. He is definitely a candidate, to my understanding. I think if he is their best candidate and that's who they have in mind, I think it is, beneficial to CJ to not take a step back in terms of the learning process. You could probably just keep going moving forward. And in terms of other guys that are around, I mean, that's what I mentioned.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I mean, like, Clint Kubiak is kind of the one that is getting a lot of buzz, a lot of different places. He's kind of the one that's been a legit play caller, honestly, that's kind of available out there. There's not a whole ton of guys. You're probably taking, if you're looking at some of the other group of callers, like some more inexperienced type of play callers. Like, you probably are. Now, I was successful the first time around with Slowick, who was an inexperienced play caller. So I'm not saying it can't be successful right out of the gate that way. But that might be the waters if you're looking elsewhere. You might have to enter.
James, you're an underdog brethren of mine, man. What's the play? What's the most recent play, man?
The most recent play?
Yeah, man. What are we doing? I need a winner.
No, I don't know. Listen, I don't know. Like I do my show there. I don't really do a whole bunch of the gambling stuff over there. But listen, I mean, I'm hard on the Eagles. I think anything there happens with them, I think that's a positive. But I just Yeah, our picks are out. I think me and Steve Smith and Gilbert Arenas and all of them, I think those just came out like an hour ago. So you can see all of our underdog picks.
There you go.
Actually,
follow yep. Follow James Palmer on social media and get all them underdog picks. I'm gonna try to go roll with yours tonight.
I appreciate it.
All right, man. All right, James, we appreciate you.
All right, guys, take it easy.